The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Well, I'm doing a series this weekend about how to be healthy spirit, soul, and body. Jesus didn't just come for a part of us. He came to restore the whole entire being. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through, separate you from profane things, make you pure and holy, consecrated to God, and may your spirit and your soul and your body," please notice, your spirit, your soul, and your body, "be found preserved sound and complete and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I think a lot of times that we think that our bodies are just ours to do whatever we want to with, and we just think we can abuse them and mistreat them and do whatever we want to do, and it just doesn't matter. But I want to tell you that it does matter. This morning, we're talking about your body. And if you think, "Well, I don't really want to hear that," well, it's too bad. God got you here to this session, and we prayed that the people who needed what I'm going to say today would be here. And, you know, if you're in great physical shape and you do everything right to take care of yourself and you feel wonderful, then you can just sit there today and just, amen, amen, amen. But probably there's more people here today that don't feel good than those that do. Listen, when my mom was my age, she had already been on a walker for 5 years. And you say, "Well, you know, I don't think she could help that." Well, I think she could have done a lot of it if she would have known what to have done. For one thing, she would have stood up to my dad and not let him abuse me. Then she wouldn't have been loaded down with guilt all of her life, which also takes a toll on your health. And she would have done better things to take care of herself. But there was not a lot of knowledge years ago about how to take care of your health. For one thing, we didn't have all the stress and the pressure coming against us years ago that people do today. But let me tell you something. Today, if you don't go the extra mile to take care of yourself, your physical body will break down under the strain of just being alive. Can anybody say amen to that? And years ago, food was healthier. A lot of people, they grew their food and they ate better food, and it wasn't full of hormones and pesticides and on and on and on and on and on. So we need to do things to combat that. And I'm going to say a couple things to you today that you may go away thinking, "Well, I don't know if I agree with that or not." But I actually, how many of you know the Bible says to know what is right to do and to do it not, it's sin? That's a scripture. Okay? I didn't make that up. That's a scripture. If you know what's right to do and you don't do it, it's sin. So there are sins of omission, just like there are sins of commission. There are things that we commit that are sinful, and there are things that we omit out of our lives that are also sinful. So if you say, "Well, I know I need to get more sleep, but I just don't." Thank you. The one or two people that are going to like this can talk to me today. Well, you know, to be honest with you, I'd probably rather just not do this, because I could just talk about how much God loves you and everybody clap and cheer and think it was the most wonderful thing ever. But I can't stand to see people dragging themselves around feeling bad all the time. When you don't feel good, you're grouchy. When you don't feel good, it's easier to get angry. It's harder to pray. It's harder to hear from God. So to think that your body doesn't affect your spiritual life is totally wrong, because I can tell you the truth, if you feel lousy all the time, you are probably not going to end up doing all that God wants you to do with and in and through your life. You say, well, I don't feel good, sister, and I'm praying for God to heal me. Well, you know what I've found? And I mean, I have seen this so, like, shockingly in the last year. A lot of times when we pray for God to do something or to fix something, he gives us something to do. But we miss that part. We want God to do everything for us. I started praying January. I wrote it in my journal, January of 15. And I wrote in my journal, God, I'm too tired. I need more energy. Let me tell you something. It takes a lot of energy to do what I'm doing up here. You may not think that, but it does. And to do the study, to do the travel, and I'm not 25 anymore. So, you know, the older you get, it takes, you got to take better care of yourself. And so I said, God, please, I need more energy. Well, shortly after that, I got a desire to start walking for exercise. Well, in the last 6 months, I walked 950 miles. Now, yeah, and hey, ladies, I lost 17 pounds doing it, so that's not bad either. You'd be surprised what a good walk will do for you. And it's a great time to pray, to be out by myself. Now, it takes me an hour and a half, but it's an investment in my future. It's an investment in the call of God on my life. I feel so much better than I did before, but God didn't just zap me with energy. Come on, you got to get this. If you don't, you're going to be sitting around praying for stuff your whole life that God is just not going to do if you don't do your part. And you know what? We've got lots of beautiful young people here today. And yeah, you probably feel pretty good. But I want to tell you something that you may not have come to grips with yet. You will get older. Every year that passes by, you will get older. And maybe you're 25 to do it today and you think, I don't want to hear about how to take care of myself. I get 3 hours sleep a night. That's all I need. Well, oh yeah, I live on potato chips and soda pop. I'm cool. I feel good, you know. And you're checking all day on your machines and doing all your stuff. But let me tell you something. You are spending tomorrow's health. Did you hear what I said? You're spending tomorrow's health. You're robbing from tomorrow, and you're using today. You're using up today what you won't have when you get older, and then you'll say, I wish I would have, but then it'll be too late. First Corinthians 9:24. I mean, I wouldn't dare say this unless I could back it up in Scripture, so here we go. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run your race that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours. Now, we're not running to get a trophy, but he was using an example from sports to make a spiritual point. Dave does that all the time. Football example, baseball example, golf example. It's amazing how spiritual sports are. That's what they tell me anyway. And so Paul was using an example of runners competing in a race. And we are running a race that, I don't know about you, but I want to finish my race. I love, and I don't mean just, you know, get old and die. I mean, I want to do what God has called me to do until I breathe the very last breath that I have on this earth. I don't want to get old and just sit somewhere and feel bad all the time. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And that means to be vibrant and energetic and passionate and full of zeal and to have energy. Well, I wish I felt that way. Well, you want to walk 950 miles with me the next 6 months? And that, you know, that's not all there is to it. I'm not trying to make too big of a deal out of what I'm doing. It doesn't really matter to me what you do, but you need to move. The point is you've got to move. Now, maybe you've got a job where you get lots of exercise, and that's good. Maybe you're involved in a lot of sports, and you get lots of exercise. But we have all these little joints in our body because they're supposed to move. And if you don't keep them moving, one of these days they're going to go, Amen? And you know, Arthur likes to come and visit all of us when we get older. And so they say, oh, well, you're getting a little arthritis there. And you know, any good doctor will tell you the best thing you can do when you first start feeling that kind of stuff is to get more movement and keep those joints moving. Don't just decide, well, I guess I need a walker and I'm just going to go through life and not be able to move. How many of you think there are some things that we can do? About some things. I mean, there's some things you can't do. I had to have a hip replacement 2 years ago. I had a birth defect, they told me, after I was 70, that after going to a chiropractor for 25 years, two times a week, because I had back problems, they finally x-rayed my hip, or did an MRI on my hip and said, oh, well, your hip joint is oblong, and the thing it fits in is round, and so, yeah, that's not ever going to work. You need a new one. Okay, well, you know, there's nothing I can do about that. That was not something that I could do anything about. But you know what? How I took care of myself during the recovery was something that I was responsible for, and that was something that I did need to do in order to do that and then be in as good a shape as I am today. Amen. I'm going to tell you some stories. Okay, if I tell you some stories? All right. People don't like to go to the dentist, so they wait till their teeth are rotting, and then they finally go. And so, you know, I don't like to go either. No, it must be really bad to be a dentist, because nobody likes you if you're a dentist. You know, it's like everybody's afraid of you. Like, oh, with a dentist. Well, you know, when I was younger and new in ministry and busy running here and there all the time, I didn't ever go. And then I was always calling the dentist with an emergency because I had a toothache. And so he finally said to me, and it was a little embarrassing, he said, I just need to tell you that if you're not going to come in for your dental checkups, don't call us anymore when you have an emergency. Oh, it's called preventative maintenance. Now, see, I know some of you are thinking, now, wait a minute, I came today to hear about Jesus. And you're talking to me about my teeth? How many of you understand that this is important? See, this is important for your relationship with God. It's important for you to be able to be the kind of person that God wants you to be so he can work through you. Let me tell you something that we just lose sight of. We are the home of God. This body that you live in and the body that I live in, this is where God has chosen to live. And I think that if we look at our bodies more like this is the house of God, we might want to take better care of it than what we do. So anyway, I like my message. Another story I'll tell you. 27 years ago, I had breast cancer, and I had to have a mastectomy. And thankfully, I didn't have to take any treatment. They got everything, no chemo, no radiation. I've had 27 mammograms since. Every year, I get a clean bill of health. and I'm grateful for what God has done for me. But there's a part of the story that I don't know that I've ever told, but it fits in real well with what I'm talking about today. I had gone for a mammogram, and my doctor said, I want you to have this repeated in 3 months because we see a little something that maybe nothing, but want to check it again in 3 months. Well, I didn't go back for 3 years. Now, that was stupid, but I didn't have anybody telling me the kind of stuff that I'm telling you today. Don't be a gambler with your health, and don't be a gambler with the gifts that God has given you. Be an investor. Go the extra mile to take care of yourself, and when you're told something like that, don't just think that you don't have to go do what you need to do to take care of yourself. If I would have went back in 3 months, there obviously was something there, but maybe they could have just taken that out and I wouldn't have had to have had a mastectomy. Now, God took care of me and he healed me, but I feel that I'm hopefully helping somebody today, if not here on television, to realize that you can't just keep putting everything off that you know you should do to take care of yourself and expect to never have any problems with it. There's no telling how many times people say, I know I should go get a mammogram, but I don't. I know I should go to the dentist, but I know I should get more sleep, but I know I shouldn't eat junk all day long every day, but I know I drink too much coffee. I know I eat too much sugar. God, heal me. Now, see, I really am behaving like your mother today. So, every athlete, verse 25, 1 Corinthians 9, every athlete who goes into training conducts himself temperately, and he restricts himself in how many things? How many things? Wow, I wish it didn't say that. They do it to win a wreath that will soon wither, but we do it to receive a crown of eternal blessedness that cannot wither. You know, I was thinking about, I work out at home now with a trainer, but I used to go to a gym and I had a trainer there, and these people were really serious. And so the couple of the girls in there one time were going to be in a contest, you know, one of these contests where, I mean, you know, women get on the bikinis and all this stuff. And it was amazing to watch those two girls train. The training that they did, the way they ate, they worked out twice a day, they ran. They ate just meat and vegetables and got their body fat down to like 3% or something, so they'd show more of their muscles. And then they oil their bodies up and they do all this stuff and they get just the right outfit and the high heels. They do all that just to do that. Let me tell you something. We're training for something much better than that. Amen. They can go through all that just to show off their muscles. I think we could work a little bit harder at showing off Christ to the world. I mean, I'm not making it up. Oh, it's on my paper. I should get my Bible. This is what the Apostle Paul said. He said, now look, this is the way athletes behave. So he says, therefore, I do not run uncertainly without definite aim. I do not box like one beating the air and striking without an adversary, but like a boxer, I buffet my body. It does not say I buffet my body. Just in case you're mixed up, same spelling, different pronunciation. I handle it roughly, I discipline it by hardships, and I subdue it for fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel and things pertaining to it, I myself should become unfit, not stand the test, be unapproved, and rejected as a counterfeit. We do need to take care of ourselves. And listen, if you know you need to lose some weight, I don't need to stand up here and tell you that. You already know that. But I'm just telling you, forget dieting. What? Yes, forget dieting and get a healthy lifestyle. You don't need a diet. You need a healthy lifestyle. And you don't need to do it just so you can lose weight. You need to do it so you can take care of yourself, so you can feel good, so Jesus can do what he wants to do through you. All right. Everything is permissible, allowable, and lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. You know, I'm not talking to you about things that if you want to get 3 hours sleep a night, it's not going to send you to hell. But you're going to feel lousy while you're on your way to heaven. He said, I can do anything I want to, but it's not good for me. I think that we are smart enough to start doing what's good for us. Food is intended for the stomach and the stomach for food. But God will finally end the functions of both and bring them to nothing. It's kind of interesting scripture. It's kind of like he's saying, you know, just get over making so much out of food all the time. You know? I mean, we need to eat to live, not live to eat. And I like food. I love what I eat. But it's a scripture, so I read it. The body's not intended. Now here we're gonna. The body's not intended for sexual immorality, but is intended for the Lord. Everybody say, my body belongs to the Lord. And the Lord is intended for the body to save, sanctify, and raise it again. And God both raised the Lord to life and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members and bodily parts of Christ, the Messiah? In other words, you say, well, what is that talking about? Well, you're his hands. You're his feet. He doesn't go anywhere if we don't take him. Today, I'm his mouth. He's speaking to you through me. He speaks to other people through you. Your body are parts of Christ. He loves people through you. He speaks to people through you. Am I therefore to take the parts of Christ and make them parts of a prostitute? Never, never. Or do you not realize that when a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? The two, it is written, shall become one flesh. But the person who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun immorality and all sexual looseness. Maybe you haven't heard this stuff in church for a while. It's time you do. Do you know how much sexual immorality there is in the world today? And the view that people take on it today, compare, people aren't even ashamed of it now. Proud of it. Not a big deal. I mean, if nothing else, television teaches everybody to have one date and jump in bed. Shun immorality and all sexual looseness. Flee from impurity in thought, word, or deed. Any other sin which a man commits is one outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. And yes, thank God we can be forgiven for sin. I want to say that because I don't want anybody here to be condemned. Well, I did this and I did that. But I am warning you, if you are doing it now, to stop it. And I do want you, if you consider doing it, to decide not to. Because the life that we live here is very short. And before we know it, we are going to face the Lord. Now, I don't know how popular this message is going to be when it gets on TV, but don't turn your set off. Just keep watching. Because I'll tell you the truth, if we were hearing more of this kind of stuff, just straightforward what it says in the Word, there would be a lot less problems in the world today. And I don't think that we're responsible to tell everybody what they want to hear. We're responsible to tell them what they need to hear. Well, we really need to take care of our health. We are running a race, and it's important that we finish well. We need to invest in our bodies and use godly wisdom, because all three, body, soul, and spirit, are connected, and they influence our effectiveness for God. Today, we're offering you a book and some CDs. The CDs are called Healthy Living, Spirit, Soul, and Body. And then this book is also just very informative. It's not a huge book. It won't take you a long time to read it, but you're going to get a lot of good advice. Good health, good life. Now stay with me, and I'll be right back.
God cares about every aspect of our lives, not just our spiritual health. Learn to cooperate with God to make healthy choices, get to the root of emotional pain, and take control of your thoughts with Joyce's 4-CD series, Healthy Living, Spirit, Soul, and Body, and the book, Good Health, Good Life, focusing on physical and spiritual wellness. These resources are available for your gift of $30 or more. To order, call us toll-free at 1-800-727-9673 or visit us at joycemeyer.org.
Well, I believe a lot of you want to help somebody, but you just don't know what to do. Well, did you know that when you partner with us, you are changing lives all over the world as well as here at home? Together, we're feeding children, providing medical care, helping people rebuild their lives after disasters. You know, we need your partnership, and I believe that it's also good for you to join in with other people so together we can make great things happen. I would really appreciate it if you would become a partner with us. All you got to do is call us or get on the website and contact us. Your partnership will mean so much to us, and I believe that you'll see great things happen in your life as you give on a regular basis. Thank you so much. You know something that I've found out? We do what we want to do. I mean, that's just the bottom line. If you want to have a better relationship with God, you will find the time to spend time with Him. Okay, here we come, verse 13. Food is intended for the stomach and the stomach for food. But God will finally end the functions of both and bring them to nothing. It's kind of interesting scripture. It's kind of like He's saying, you know, just get over making so much out of food all the time. You know? I mean, we need to eat to live, not live to eat. And I like food. I love what I eat. But it's a scripture, so I read it. The body's not intended. Now here we're going to. The body's not intended for sexual immorality, but is intended for the Lord. Everybody say, my body belongs to the Lord. And the Lord is intended for the body to save, sanctify, and raise it again. And God both raised the Lord to life and will also raise us up by His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members and bodily parts of Christ, the Messiah? In other words, you say, well, what is that talking about? Well, you're His hands. You're His feet. He doesn't go anywhere if we don't take Him. Today, I'm His mouth. He's speaking to you through me. He speaks to other people through you. Your body are parts of Christ. He loves people through you. He speaks to people through you. Am I therefore to take the parts of Christ and make them parts of a prostitute? Never, never. Or do you not realize that when a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? The two, it is written, shall become one flesh. But the person who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with Him. Shun immorality and all sexual looseness. Maybe you haven't heard this stuff in church for a while. It's time you do. Thank you. Do you know how much sexual immorality there is in the world today? And the view that people take on it today, compare, people aren't even ashamed of it now. Proud of it. Not a big deal. I mean, if nothing else, television teaches everybody to have one date and jump in bed. Shun immorality and all sexual looseness. Flee from impurity in thought, word, or deed. Any other sin which a man commits is one outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. And yes, thank God we can be forgiven for sin. I want to say that because I don't want anybody here to be condemned. Well, I did this and I did that. But I am warning you, if you are doing it now, to stop it. And I do want you, if you consider doing it, to decide not to. Because the life that we live here is very short. And before we know it, we are going to face the Lord. Now, I don't know how popular this message is going to be when it gets on TV, but don't turn your set off. Just keep watching. Because I'll tell you the truth, if we were hearing more of this kind of stuff, just straightforward what it says in the Word, there would be a lot less problems in the world today. And I don't think that we're responsible to tell everybody what they want to hear. We're responsible to tell them what they need to hear. Do you not know, verse 19, that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, purchased with a preciousness, and paid for, made his own. So then honor God and bring glory to him in your body. All right, now, Romans 12, 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and I beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies. So I wouldn't want to preach like this today and not at least bring us to a point of saying, are you hearing anything that you need today? Is there any conviction there that you need to take better care of yourself? And would you be willing today to say, oh, you know what? I didn't even realize some of this kind of stuff. I just kind of thought my body was my own to do what I wanted to with, and that didn't really make any difference at all about my spiritual life. But now that I see that, I do want to dedicate my body to the Lord. Now, I need to tell you, when you put your hand up, see, that means some changes. How many of you got a pain in your body you've been ignoring for at least 2 years and saying, I just don't want to go to the doctor? Well, get your appointment made. You can't get by with it anymore. You say, well. Do you want to gamble or invest? Do you want to take a chance that you can do nothing and still get a great result? Or do you want to do your maintenance? Then if something does happen, you at least know that you did what you should have done. And when we know that, I think it gives us power in prayer to go before God and say, I believe that I've done what you've asked me to do. Now, I can't take care of the rest of this. I need you to do this. And Jesus is our healer. I believe that he would love to heal everybody in here today that's sick or diseased in your bodies. But there's one man in the Bible where he said, now I've made you well, now go and sin no more unless the worst thing comes upon you. And I'm not saying that all sickness is from our own personal sin, but some of it is. Not everything happens for the same reason, but we need to be open to letting God show us. That's all I'm saying today. When you have a problem, the first thing you need to do is go to God, yes, and pray, but don't just ask God to take care of it. Ask him if there's anything you need to see. Maybe you're praying for God to get you out of debt and you just need to stop spending so much money. Oh, never thought of that. I needed more energy and all God said, good, go walk. Well, you know, I thought I was doing good, but I sit hours and hours and hours and study. I sit hours on planes getting to where I'm going to preach. And I've been working out at the gym 3 times a week for 12 years. But the cardio exercise is a different kind. I'm just telling you, move. Play some sports. Take a walk. Do something. But get yourself moving so the life that's in you can begin to flow and do something. And actually, walking is one of the best things you can do. And if you think you'd like to have some time alone, that's a great place to go get it. And I know everybody likes, you know, a walking partner. Well, maybe you should just let your partner be Jesus for a while. Maybe you need to get out and just, you know, instead of getting a friend to walk with and gossip about all your other friends, maybe you need to get out and just talk to Jesus for a while. Ooh, I'm having so much fun today. Make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. It has become so real to me in the last 5 years, especially, that we are partners with God. We can't just sit around and ask God to do everything while we do nothing. Just wishing for things doesn't get it done. We have to say, God, show me the steps that I need to take to have the result that I want to get in my life. I mean, the Bible says in Romans, Hebrews 12, that no discipline for the present brings joy. It's painful. When I first started going to the gym, I was sore for 2 years. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but I was. Oh my gosh. You just don't know how bad I hurt. And I'm telling you the truth. It's like, so often we start to do the right thing, and it's hard. Well, that's hard. Well, I can't go walk every day. I don't have the time for that. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You know something that I found out? We do what we want to do. I mean, that's just the bottom line. If you want to have a better relationship with God, you will find the time to spend time with him. We do what we want to do. We do what we really want to do. The will of man is so phenomenal. God has given us free choice. He's given us free choice. The devil will help you do the wrong thing, and God will help you do the right thing. But it's our choice which one we're going to do. And please remember, I'm not laying down laws and rules and regulations. I'm simply saying, follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit and do what you believe that he is leading you to do. Same way with how you run your spiritual life. You need to take care of your health the same way. The same things don't work for everybody. But we have to do our part. We're partners with God. He has a part, we have a part, we can't do his part, and he won't do our part. I'm gonna say it again. We're partners with God. That means that we have a part, he has a part, we can't do his part, he won't do our part. And you know what, to be honest, life gets a lot more interesting when we start taking our responsibility and doing what we need to do. It actually makes you feel good about yourself when you make good choices, even if they're not comfortable, even if they make you sore, even if they take your time, even if they're hard. Doing some hard things is good for us occasionally. And you know, we always want the pain to stop. We always want things to feel better right away. But the real definition of the word patience means to stay under. To humble yourself means to stay under what God has put you under and trust Him to do the work in you that needs to be done. And so this man saw this butterfly. It was about time for it to be birthed, and it was fighting, it's trying to fight its way out of this cocoon. And it appeared to the man that there was a great struggle going on, and he didn't want the little butterfly to suffer. So he opened up the cocoon, and it was too early, and the wings were not totally developed, and it fell over and died. You know what? Even to deliver your children from everything that is painful to them many times cripples them for life. We have to love our kids enough, like God loves us, to let them maybe go through some things. You can have good health, but it's going to take work, and it's going to take effort, and it's going to take decision, and it's going to take doing what you know is right, whether you feel like it or not. And it's going to be hard in the beginning, but you're going to get through it day after day, and you're going to get over here and say, my gosh, I can't believe how good I feel. You know, something I despise is regret. I don't think there's anything worse than making bad decisions and more bad decisions and more bad decisions and then getting to the point where you have a lot of bad results and then just regretting that you didn't do what you should have done. You know, Esau was like that. He sold his birthright to Jacob. And the Bible says that later on, he regretted the decision that he'd made, but he then had no opportunity to go back and reclaim that birthright. Thankfully, we can turn things around. Because I'm going to tell you today, even if you feel lousy, every good decision you make helps undo the results of bad decisions that you've made in the past. So don't ever think it's too late for you to change. It's never, that is the biggest lie of Satan. It is never too late to do anything right. Right now is the right time to start doing what's right. I beg of you to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members. Spirit, soul, body, mind, will, emotions. Presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, and well-pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service and spiritual worship. Can I just tell you five things that you could do that will improve your health? And then I have six more things. But they're all about eating. I'll save those till the last. Drink half of your body weight in ounces of water every day. Some of you are probably thinking I'll drown. One time I said, drink half your body weight in water every day. And Dave told me later, he said, do you know how much water you just told him to drink? Now, how many of you don't like water? Okay, I'm going to tell you why you don't like water. Because you haven't been drinking it. I mean, that's the truth. You don't like it because you haven't drank it. You drink soda, you drink coffee. Have you ever seen a well pumping out Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola? You know, God put water on the earth. It's in rivers, it's in streams, it's in oceans. You get it out of the ground if you dig a well. There you go. And you will start to like it. Well, my father hated water too, and he died with kidney disease. It's the only thing that will really cleanse your kidneys. So, start drinking it, and don't sip it, drink it. Sleep 7 to 8 hours a day. I mean, unless you're one of those rare people that really just doesn't need that much sleep. And there are a few people. My husband has a sister that sleeps 5 hours a night. She's our age, and that's just all the sleep she's ever needed. There are a few people like that. But if you need, get the sleep you need. Thank you. Eat mostly healthy. I got one friend over here in this section. Now, come on, I'm giving you guys a break. I said mostly. Mostly. I drink coffee, but I don't drink 12 cups a day. I eat a dessert. I eat one once a week. I think it's good to allow yourself some things like that so you don't feel like you're under the law. Because to be honest, if you say, I can never do this and I can never do that and I can never do this, you put yourself under the law, it's only going to make you want it more. God gave the law to show people that they needed a Savior because the law actually increased their sin. Now, you know, I'm not a health expert. Not a nutritionist. Some people probably say, oh, no, you can never eat that. Don't you ever put that in your mouth. Well, I just think it's better to do moderation. That's just, I think it's, if I tell you don't ever do that, then you're not going to listen to anything I say, and you're going to go and say, well, that's just too much for me. So eat mostly healthy. If you don't know how to do that or what that is, go get a book and educate yourself. Just get a basic book on good nutrition and find out some things. Get some kind of regular exercise, and especially something that's going to get your heart rate up, that's going to increase your metabolism, and do it on a regular basis. Some of you are so tired you can't even think about exercising. It's like... I was going to ask how many people exercise regularly, but I won't. Number five, if you want to be healthy, have a well-balanced life. Thank you. That means work, rest, play, laugh. Have balance in your life. Okay, number one, water. Number two, sleep. Number three, eat mostly healthy. Number four, regular exercise. Number five, have a well-balanced life. Oh, and there's six things. I saw six over here in the corner. Eliminate excessive stress. From your life. Six things about eating. Because food is a problem for us. People stick food under your nose everywhere you go. If you don't want to eat junk, don't buy it and take it home. Don't eat mindlessly. You say, what do you mean by that? Okay, it's interesting. You go back to your hotel at night and they got a caramel on your pillow. What do I need a caramel on my pillow for? Or some kind of, you know, chocolate mint. Well, you know, it's easy to just open that thing up and pop it in your mouth because it's laying there. But several years ago, I looked to see how many calories were in it. All it was a ball of sugar and 100 calories. I thought, I don't need that. Went to a furniture store one day to buy furniture, and they had a whole plate full of cookies sitting there. By the time I did one rotation around the store and came back by the cookies, they were all gone. Everybody that comes in there just picks it up, sticks it in their mouth, and don't even pay any attention to the fact that they're eating it. I go to a place where I buy shoes and they're the nicest people. I love them to pieces. But every time you leave, they want to give you a bag of cookies. I don't want cookies. And if I do want a cookie, I'm going to go buy one that I specifically like, and I'm probably going to put cream cheese icing on it and eat it with ice cream because that's the way I like my cookies. And they will have three people try to give me cookies before I get out the door. I don't go to buy shoes to get cookies. Every time. Are you with me? Think about what you're putting in your mouth. Ask yourself, do I really want this? Is it worth it to me to eat this? Forget dieting and choose instead to live a healthy lifestyle. That's number three. Number four, stop eating when you first feel full and don't stuff yourself. Oh my gosh, I am so full. Pray daily that God will help you eat your necessary food. Learn that you don't have to eat everything that somebody offers to you. And number seven, educate yourself on what's in your food, the calories, the sugar, the nutrition, the chemicals, so on and so forth. I hope you receive this today in the spirit in which I've offered it. I really, truly just care about people and I want you to feel good. Jesus is our healer. The Bible says he forgives our sins and he heals our diseases. If you're sick, if you're hurting, if you're diseased, go to him and ask him to heal you. But be ready to take care of yourself. It's not going to do any good, even if God does a miracle, if we're just going to go back out and abuse ourselves in some other way. You're going to feel so much better about your choices if you do the good things that you need to do. You're worth taking care of. You are worth making an investment in yourself. You deserve the time to take a walk every day if that's what you want to do. You deserve to take care of yourself, and that's what God wants you to do. God bless you. Well, we really need to take care of our health. We are running a race, and it's important that we finish well. We need to invest in our bodies and use godly wisdom because all three, body, soul, and spirit, are connected, and they influence our effectiveness for God. Today, we're offering you a book and some CDs. The CDs are called Healthy Living, Spirit, Soul, and Body. And then this book is also just very informative. It's not a huge book. It won't take you a long time to read it, but you're going to get a lot of good advice. Good health, good life. Now stay with me and I'll be right back.
God cares about every aspect of our lives, not just our spiritual health. Learn to cooperate with God to make healthy choices, get to the root of emotional pain, and take control of your thoughts with Joyce's 4-CD series, Healthy Living, Spirit, Soul, and Body, and the book, Good Health, Good Life, focusing on physical and spiritual wellness. These resources are available for your gift of $30 or more. To order, call us toll-free at 1-800-727-9673 or visit us at joycemeyer.org.
Well, I believe a lot of you want to help somebody, but you just don't know what to do. Well, did you know that when you partner with us, you are changing lives all over the world as well as here at home? Together, we're feeding children, providing medical care, helping people rebuild their lives after disasters. You know, we need your partnership, and I believe that it's also good for you to join in with other people so together we can make great things happen. I would really appreciate it if you would become a partner with us. All you got to do is call us or get on the website and contact us. Your partnership will mean so much to us, and I believe that you'll see great things happen in your life as you give on a regular basis. Thank you so much.